It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike Reese is there. I'm Spike Eskin. We are at Chickies and Pete's on Packer Ave. It is draft week. Enjoy all the pro football draft coverage at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. That is Chickies and Pete's online at chickiesandpetes.com. In a moment, we will give you a recap of day one, not just of the draft. We've been talking about the draft, but Eagles Insider of the Year, who had a good day yesterday, who had a bad
day yesterday.
You know, we're going to do the rankings every Wednesday at 4:30, but we will give you an update in just a moment about how everyone is doing. Now, before that, and this is related, the Eagles did sign A.J. Brown to a three-year, $96 million extension yesterday with $84 million guaranteed, which is a lot of money. A lot of money, more money than I have. Here is Howie on why they re-signed A.J. Brown to the extension.
That's the word. You know, we try to be proactive to try to keep this team together. You know, that starts with Jeffrey and his support, like we talked about in our pre-draft press conference, and just talking about the benefits of trying to keep it together as much as we possibly can. And the only way we could possibly do that is by doing deals early. And, you know, we felt like it was an opportunity to do that here. With AJ, obviously we've done a bunch of deals with a bunch of our players, and we want to add to that, and we want to try to keep this team together as much as we possibly can. We couldn't do that without his support in allowing us to do that, and we felt like the earlier we did that would be better for us.
Can I look a little too deep into something he said there?
Okay.
Talk about keeping this team together. This team.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about him saying keeping this team together. This team is not coming directly off of a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, this team is coming off of sort of a monumental collapse. And the idea that he's saying we got to keep this team together, I think that paired with the fact that they kept the head coach, all those sorts of things, it's something that leads me to believe that they do not think whatever happened last year means that everything is rotten, you know, that it is worth continuing with this core. Because A.J. Brown is a big part of the core, especially with all that's happened and could have happened with him and Jalen.
Sure. I think it also partly says that they think just losing sort of contributed to that. Put everybody somewhat in a foul mood, and maybe they all didn't handle it correctly. It doesn't necessarily mean you got a bad culture or you got bad players on the team that you don't feel you can win with. Maybe they view it as it's a learning experience for all of them. Jalen, AJ, like everybody that was here last year that's still here now, they still feel pretty comfortable about them being building blocks moving forward. And maybe that's just a one-off or an aberration of what happened last year, and they don't believe it's going to be an issue moving forward. Now, just because they believe that or hope that doesn't necessarily mean that's factual and that's what it'll be the next time some adversity arises.
Well, and I also think AJ's an interesting guy. I really wish I was here when he called in.
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy in that.
I think you would have made it worse.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
we would have gotten down to the bottom of things.
I'm curious, Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator, has he reached out, and how are you excited to work with Kellen Moore? And
we didn't get to the bottom of that part. I wonder if the fact that I bet he does, the fact that he has an extension now, especially after Devonta Smith getting the extension, especially after all that happened, maybe it just, like, calms him down a little bit this offseason. Just chill out.
At least that's what they hope it does.
Yeah, chill out with the Patriots stuff.
Yeah.
Chill out with,
I agree,
you know, making Tom Brady a profile picture. Chill out on Twitter. You can call WIP every once in a while. But I wonder if part of him acting out a little bit, and this is the way that, not, I was going to say children. It's not just children. It's that sort of personality type. They act out when they're not getting what they want or they feel like they're not getting the appreciation that they deserve.
Yeah.
And I think his contract was probably part of that. And him getting an extension, maybe it is managing him, that this is part of managing his personality by making him feel like he is part of the future. And he's as important as Jalen is.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And that's on top of him being a great player.
Sure.
That's obviously on top of him being a great player.
Obviously.
Production. That's just for anybody who thinks, well, no, he's a great player. That's why they did it.
Yeah.
That's a big part of why they did it. But
Stephon
also,
Diggs is also a great player. He's not in
he's
Buffalo.
He's not in Buffalo anymore. Right. So completely agree there. I do believe this is somewhat of a way to sort of calm him down a little bit, because he can say Tom Brady is his favorite player and all this other stuff and whatever. No. Today's athletes, they communicate differently. They send you subliminal messages differently than the way guys did it 20 years ago. They do use social media. They use things like unfollowing players or teammates or a team and following other players and stuff like that. That's the way these guys sort of communicate their displeasure or whatever.
It's never an accident when that happens.
Yes, it's never. He's too smart to understand what that would do,
right,
and the chain reaction that would come from that. So, and quite frankly, you're an Eagle, bro. So when you start following Patriots players and putting profiles up of Patriot players, how do you not think this fan base, of all fan bases, won't see that and react to it?
Forgetting about a player, what if a fan did that?
Right.
You know, what if I did that?
Yeah.
What if I came in one day and I had Tom Brady?
Oh, we had to do a whole show on it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the summer when there's a little less to talk about.
But to think something was just so innocuous, or it was just innocent.
Right.
And we're overreacting, or people here are overreacting. I think that's just people that want to sort of look at things with their eyes closed.
Want it to go away.
Yes, that's all that really is. No, we and the Eagles. I mean, how could your teammates not notice that?
Of course.
And I've been in the locker room, so I know whether somebody comes out and says it publicly, meaning on social media, or it's just small conversations amongst each other.
Like, oh, there goes AJ again.
I wonder what's up with that. Yeah. Like, man, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
Is something happening with AJ? Like, that's what happens while you're working out during the offseason. Oh, by the way, when a lot of the players are here and he's not here working out with everybody else.
We will get to our Eagles Insider of the Year ranking update. Not a new power ranking, but update on progress in a second. We're talking about the Eagles pick last night. Did you like it? What would you grade it? 215-592-9494. And do you now believe that Joel Embiid has turned a corner and can lead the Sixers the way that a superstar needs to? Big V in Jersey, you're on WIP.
Yo, I told you last week when Jack was talking all that smack about them drafting a tight end and moving up, that wasn't going to happen, that this was Howie's season. Instead of everybody going E-A-G-L-E-S, hit that H-O-W-I-D, baby! It's Howie's season!
You're fired up, man.
I like it.
So you're happy with the pick, I would say.
Well, I mean, I think that he chose well.
That's good, man. This is the time. I love the optimism of draft season. You know what I mean? I love the optimism of it. Honestly, I don't see a ton of these players play at all, but I love the feeling that it gives you. You start talking about hope. One of the best things about sports is hope, is the future, is the unknown.
Yeah.
And the draft is that, oh, my God, we could have the next great. This is the missing piece. This is what was wrong. I love that part of the draft. I love how fired up people get.
Hey, you know what I love more than draft season? The
what?
Fact that I just got my draft hat in the mail today. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
He got his draft hat in the mail?
Oh, draft hat.
I think that's what he said.
Yeah, I thought he said draft pack. I was like, did he get drafted? They don't draft people still. I was thinking the military. Yeah. Was he drafted there? So we've been talking about Eagles Insider of the Year. We introduced it this week. The Wednesday was the first power rankings that we had.
Yeah.
We will award Eagles Insider of the Year at the end of the Eagles season after they play their final game. Just to recap some of the rules, you know, you get credit for a correct story. You get knocked for an incorrect story. Informed speculation does not count. You know, I'm feeling they will pick does not count.
Mm-hmm.
You get knocked if you criticize a member of the WIP air staff. Reports on other teams do not count. So those are some of the rules.
On other teams don't count?
No. So a Phillies report doesn't count for Eagles Insider of the Year.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just Yeah, because you made it Eagles Insider of the Year instead of just Insider of the Year.
Correct.
I got you.
So yesterday was really the first. Obviously, everyone who is being considered, there are some people who weren't in the initial power rankings who are complaining. Mm-hmm. Maybe some that have or had worked at WIP. My message to you is this is open to any insider. Break a story. Break a story, you'll get in the power rankings. But here's what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. So at the top of the power rankings were Howard and D-Gun. D-Gun had nothing yesterday, so he stays flat. Now, if you go for a while without a story, that can hurt you as well.
Yeah, well, the last story D-Gun had was it implied that Hassan Reddick could be here and would be here and play on the final year of his deal.
Not great. Didn't work out that way. Didn't work out that way.
Ew.
Now, Howard had a huge hit with the A.J. Brown extension. Mm-hmm. Had that before anyone, so he gets a ton of points for that. However, he also gets points for basically guaranteeing, telling Hugh that he'd give him $500 if they drafted Brock Bowers. So, you know, I don't give him a ton of points for that. That's sort of informed speculation, but I do give him some. However, Howard has to get dinged for calling Elliot Captain Clickbait during the draft show last night.
Ah, I didn't hear him say that.
He did it. I was listening on the way home. I was listening to Gilio, Hugh, Howard, and Elliot. And within the first 10 minutes of the show, he referred to Elliot as Captain Clickbait, which is a negative connotation. And remember, one of the rules is you cannot criticize a member of the WIP air staff. So while Howard has a big hit with his A.J. Brown extension, he gets dinged a little bit for calling Elliot Captain Clickbait. Speaking of Elliot, just a bunch of informed speculation. Nothing there. Sorry at Elliot. Elliot wants to be ranked higher. Break a story, buddy. Jeff McClain, who is ranked 5th, tried to take reporting credit for informed speculation. Also, sorry, no dice. I reported. No, you said. There's a dip. If you write that, you know, Quinion Mitchell, I expect Quinion Mitchell to be at the top of their board. That is informed speculation. Mm-hmm. You didn't report that. You believe that is different than I have reported. So nothing for Jeff McClain. And Johnny Airport pretty much sat this one out. Maybe he was watching the Sixers.
Well, he was out in Detroit.
Oh, but then
he
had
no
stories?
Out of the draft. Yeah, and had nothing. Hmm. Well, he did get to interview Quinion first.
That doesn't count.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, I credit him for his hustle. But it doesn't count for Eagles Insider of the Year. So
I mean, he's out there to speak to the draft pick. He's the first one locally gets to speak to the draft pick.
Yeah, it's nice, you know. Not really insider stuff.
Okay.
You know. So you'll
try to help you, John.
You'll get your next rankings. Get your next rankings on Wednesday at 4:30. They will be every Wednesday at 4:30. 215-592-9494. Yoshi in Brewery Town. You're on WIP.
My man. Big Ike, been on the 1 and 2s. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, Ike Reese.
What up, Yosh?
Well, baby, hey, it took me 22 years to get a first round cornerback once again. Yep. I am a happy brother. I mean, you know, I'm like you. I was big on Terrion Arnold, man. That was my guy. Maybe I was blinded by the Bama. And then you sucked me in. What? Whoa. No, Diddy. You convinced me to look deeper into Cooper DeJean, what's name? Yep, but, man, I am not disappointed with Quinion, man. I mean, my son sent me some stuff last night, just like straight film. What? Like, man, that boy, that's a grown man. That's a grown man. 6 foot, 195. I love the way he walked to the stage. He walked to the stage, just like you said, with confidence and humility. Like, that boy ready to play. Last time we got a number one corner that did something good here was also from Florida. And when you look at daggone Lito and this boy, they almost favor a little bit. Don't
they do a little
Lito
bit.
Doing
yeah.
A little bit. Hey, man,
they do,
we got us one. I love it. How we out there pitching curveballs, throwing some sliders. I mean, you get AJ that money. I mean, he just the Jeffrey said here, take the checkbook and do what you want. I mean, how are we having a good old time with that checkbook, boy? He's feeding everybody, making sure everybody eat. I love it. And I mean, Spike, great talk at the beginning of the show. I'm with you. And B and got his duffel bag. He ain't put the fans the players, the media, and everybody in it, put it on his back, and he said, let's rock and roll. One leg, he got strained in his face with the Bell's palsy, and the boy, what's his name, just killed him in the fourth quarter last night. Like, bully balled him in the first half. I mean, I love it. It's great to be a Phillies fan right now. Let's go get Jeremiah. If we don't, let's get Adrian Cooper at linebacker, baby. I love y'all, cats. Let's get busy.
Well, Yosh.
Thank you for the call, Yosh. Calls have been excellent today. Not every day is full of great calls.
Sure.
I feel like everybody's riled up.
Everybody's fired. It was a good day yesterday. The Phillies won. We hadn't even mentioned that yet. They split in Cincinnati.
Yep.
You got the Sixers winning a big game last night, and Embiid 50-piece nugget on top of the Knicks' head. And then I think last night, you know, even though the Eagles didn't take the guy that, let's say, was unanimous amongst us in the fan base, I think the fact that they took the position that a lot of people wanted them to address has people excited. And so just like every draft, when you draft one of these players that we're not necessarily familiar on, the more and more information you start to hear from the experts and the analysts about the guy, you start to fall in love even more with the pick. But it started with addressing a position that most people thought was a position of need.
Yeah, they could have taken anybody defensively, and I feel like everybody would have
and
been
I would have been
thrilled,
happy, yes.
Especially with the way the offseason has gone with every defensive move they've made. There's a caveat to almost every single one of them. Even though there's optimism, you can be optimistic on Huff. You could be optimistic on White. You could be optimistic on CJGJ. But you can also say, yeah, but with every single one of them. And I think people were hungry, not just hungry for cornerback, but they were hungry for defense. And I think the Eagles addressing defense in the first round, I think, made everybody happy.
And the whole idea that defense is a luxury, I love big bro, Hugh Douglas, but it's just nonsense. And the Eagles don't believe defense is a luxury. They've just already invested so much on the offensive side of the ball. What they, to me, have decided to do is that we're going to have to go younger and more affordable on the defensive side of the ball. They put a lot of money on the offensive side of the ball. They spent their last four first-round draft picks on what side of the ball?
Defense.
Yeah, so how is that a luxury?
Right.
When you're spending premium picks on that side of the football. Like, you're not saying we'll wait till the fourth round to get defensive players, or if we can get a guy, whatever. So what? We're not saying we'll wait to get undrafted guys in here. No, for the last 3 years, they spent their four first-round picks on defensive players to try to reshape this defense, get them younger and more affordable for the next 3 to 4 years to where they can grow with each other.
You know, DeCamera, I thought, during my couple hours of the draft show yesterday, made a good point when he said that he thought that rebuilding the defense was a 2-year job rather than a 1-year job.
Yeah.
And I think that's apt, and I think it is about now, but it's also about the next 5 years. And one of the things that has happened over the years is there's been so many Eagles, not just let's take from 17, mm-hmm. how so many Eagles have been here for a long time and slowly left, that you wake up one morning and all of a sudden the entire team is different. Right, like we still have BG, but BG's the last one.
Yep.
And you forget that there have been a lot of pieces on both sides of the ball that have to be replaced from a lot of players who were here a long time successfully.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. It's not easy to draft a Fletcher Cox who's there for a decade. It's not easy to draft a Brandon Graham who's there for a decade and a half. Those are not that is the best case scenario for any draft pick. It is not the normal thing. And you don't rebuild that all in 1 year. That doesn't just happen overnight.
I totally agree. And I think there should be some questions about whether or not they got the N'Kobe Dean pick correct. Listen, he's going to get another shot. I like N'Kobe Dean, but me liking him doesn't make him a great football player. He has to go out there and play great football and be productive and stay healthy. Devin White is on a 1-year deal. Even though he's young, he's still on a 1-year deal. So I can even see today, Spike, and I know we haven't gotten into tonight's draft as much today. I can even see today where they still add two more defensive players. And I'd be okay with it.
People are going to be frothing at the mouth if they draft two defensive players. People will be thrilled if they draft two defensive players.
I could see them doing it because, to me, you still need to add another young pass rusher or an interior defensive lineman. The kid from A&M, if he's there, at 50, Edgerrin Cooper, you put him there? That's a young player, and he gives you insurance in case N'Kobe can't play, and you also don't have to feel the need to pay Devin White next year when he's a free agent. So you would already have a young linebacker in the fold who does an awful lot. So if he's there at 50, I could see the Eagles taking him today.
The Twitter poll of the day is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Two questions today. This is the Sixers one. After last night, has Joel Embiid regained your trust? Do you trust him to lead this team, not just now, but beyond this round? Yes or no? Yes, 66%. No, 34%. There's still a lot of people out there that need to be won over. And I think that's fair. I'm won over because I was waiting for it. I believed it would happen. I could understand if you don't believe in him that it would be harder for you. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, it is 20 years of Citizens Bank Park, and we do a little feature here every week called Memory Bank where we go back in time to one of the best memories at Citizens Bank Park. And we're going to play for you, I think, one of the best pieces of Phillies play-by-play audio of all time. All of these are great. Fransky's great. LA's great. But the audio we're going to play you next, I think, is one of the all-timers. It's the WIP Afternoon Show live from Chickies and Pete's. Baseball is better at Chickies and Pete's. Pre-game, in-game, or a post-game feast. Find a location near you online at chickiesandpete's.com. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike Reese, I'm Spike Eskin. We are at Chickies and Pete's on Packer Ave. It is draft week. Enjoy all the pro football draft coverage at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. Chickies and Pete's, online at chickiesandpete's.com. Jack Fritz not with us today, but we did have to do some investigating, and we do have a piece of Jack Fritz audio to play in about 30 minutes that I think is going to change things.
Okay.
It is a big piece of audio. Big piece of audio, Ike.
Okay.
Big piece of audio. We had to do some.
I love when I don't know what you're talking about.
We had to do some investigating, bring out the magnifying glass. But we did some reporting. That'll be in about a half an hour. And next, Charles Barkley, very unhappy with some of the things that happened last night in Philadelphia. But before that, every week, we do a little segment called Memory Bank. It's 20 years of Citizens Bank Park, and we're sharing some of the best memories, some of the best sound. Memory Bank is sponsored by Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Give Matt Blatt an at-bat. It is time for the Memory Bank.
Two balls, two strikes to Bryce Harper. Suarez delivers. Swing and a drive, left field. It's deep. It's going.
Yes!
And it is gone!
Yes! Yes!
It is bedlam at the bank as Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top!
Are you kidding me?
His 10th career home run in the postseason. And he may never hit a bigger one.
October 23rd, 2022. Now, this is one that I was interested in asking you about because I was not...
Still gives me chills.
Well, I got chills hearing it.
Yeah.
And what a great job by Fransky in LA. Mm. We talk about it all the time, but they are the best in the business. You know, it is not just them individually, but is the relationship between them. And as a, like, you know, as a broadcaster for 30 years, hearing them find their spots and do it exactly the right way is amazing for me. Now, obviously, I saw the game, but I was not in Philadelphia. I was, you know, up in New York doing my previous job. So it was fun when I saw it, but I don't think for me when it happened, I wasn't in the middle of it like you guys were. Just curious what that sound brings back for you emotionally and what it was like to see it and feel it and hear it that night.
I still, anytime I hear that highlight, the Reese Hoskins home run where he slammed the bat.
Yep.
Like that playoff run is some of the best Philadelphia sports moments that I've experienced in my 26, 27 years of being here. That 2022 run, it seemed like they were destined to win the World Series. I mean, that hit right there in the bottom of the eighth, it was one of those crazy days with the weather. I wasn't at the game, so I'm watching it. And I wishing that I was there in that moment. And it seemed like the whole city shook at the same time. It's like you can almost feel everybody rejoicing and celebrating and fist bumping and high-fiving. You can almost feel it collectively in the Delaware Valley, man. I don't know if I felt ever before anything here. Maybe the Super Bowl, when we won the Super Bowl that night, when we realized the ball hit the ground and everybody rejoiced. But that home run as it was leaving the park, oh, my goodness, man. You couldn't have told me at that time they weren't going to win the World Series.
There is something about the runs of the last 2 years that makes when that team gets on a run and things like that, they feel inevitable. And it seems impossible that they would go on the runs they went on the last 2 years and not win a World Series one of those 2 years.
Yeah.
And we do have, in this city, we do have an affection for certain teams that were great but did not go all the way. Iverson Sixers, yep. 93 Phillies, yep. You know. And I actually don't know if there's an Eagles team that we feel that may – you'd have to go back to Buddy probably
sure.
to think yeah. about a team that didn't win it but had that sort of, you know, feel about it.
Well, they loved us until we lost three, four straight.
Well, that's – yeah. They love that team, but there's yeah. there's one of, there isn't one of those teams, I don't think,
that sticks out,
that
yeah.
sticks like one of those other teams.
Not in a positive way anyway.
No. But I think the 22 Phillies, that moment and that run,
yeah.
and to a lesser extent last year because it was less of a surprise and they didn't go as far, mm-hmm. but there's something about the momentum of those teams that feels different than any other baseball team I think I've ever watched.
I loved it, man. I agree. And that includes the teams that won the World Series and went to back-to-back World Series. That run from 2022, the moments, the theater, from when you look at the behind-the-scenes stuff about Reese struggling and being booed at times, you know, that's where that bat spike came from. That was the whole.
Oh, he was getting booed.
Oh yeah, well, he certainly was getting criticized.
Got it.
So like it came from that to sort of shut people up who had been being critical of him.
So I didn't live. You know, I've moved away before. I lived in Chicago for a couple years. I lived in L.A. for a year. I went to college in. I lived in Los Angeles.
USC,
I lived in
yeah.
Syracuse. All that kind of stuff. There was something about watching that team not being here that really made me miss being here.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about the way that Philadelphia – this is not – I'm not – you know, I've talked a lot of trash about Knicks fans, blah, blah, blah. This mm-hmm. is not a negative about New York at all. But there's something specifically about Philadelphia, the way that – the community feels like they are part of the sports teams and it matters to everybody. Like that home run mattered to everybody.
Man.
And it doesn't, maybe Boston, I don't know, because they're a one team town for all the sports and they mm-hmm. love sports a lot. But I don't think there's another city in America where everybody cares in a way that this city cared about that Phillies team and cares about when the Eagles, when they're rolling. It is a very special thing that I think is very particular to Philadelphia.
And the best part about that run was it had erased a decade of not being in the playoffs. So the fans came out in droves that postseason.
Right.
I mean, that's what made it really cool. It was like Red October is back. We hadn't experienced this in 10 years, over 10 years. And, man, like a light switch, when they knocked off, who was it? St. Louis, I believe, was the first team we knocked off in the wild card to get past them. From that point on, the fan, it was crazy here from a fan base standpoint. We hadn't had that love for baseball being shown around here in over a decade.
From an emotional standpoint, when I first started dating my wife, one of the things that she loved the Phillies, went to all the games or whatever, but it was the memories of going to, we would find bars that nobody would go to and watch the playoffs in those bars.
Yeah.
And it brought back that era. It brought back 09 was when I, mm-hmm. when we started, you know, dating. I actually watched her get in a screaming match with a Yankee fan at a bar. Because
that's when you knew she was the one.
Yeah, the Delco came out at her. Like, I said something. That I think a Yankees player hit a home run, and I told the person to sit down, and they yelled back at me, and she stood up and put her chest out. And I was like, all right, little Delco, you relax. We will hear from Charles Barkley next about what he had to say about what happened last night. A little critical about what happened right after we talked to Andy in Deptford. You're on WIP.
Oh, my guys. What's good?
Yo.
Andy.
Mike, you was talking about your YouTube board on receivers. Aduze was the third receiver taken, not the second. You had Harrison. Giants took Malik Neighbors.
I thought about it.
Yeah, that's right. He was the third. You're right. Yep.
Good call.
And then as far as with A.J. Brown, I mean, I want to hit on the draft, but quickly with him. I mean, you heard so much drama in the offseason that was all fabricated, you know, whether it was fraction in the locker room, A.J.'s not cool with Kalen anymore, all this other things. I mean, I think, you know, that was this awful gaze. You know, maybe A.J. doing all these things, you know, like in Patriots, maybe this was just all a play by A.J. to get the contract. Like, I don't think A.J. was ever going anywhere. I mean, you had Dan Graziano. This guy gets paid. Yesterday before the draft, he's saying, oh, don't be surprised. The Eagles get a wide receiver in the first round. I mean, it just blows my mind, some of the crap that comes out of these people's mouths.
Well, you know,
I don't know how you guys feel about that.
First of all, I don't think – I truly don't believe that the A.J. stuff is fabricated. If you're saying it's fabricated, you're saying people are making it up. I just don't think it's true. I don't think that people are making it up. When reports like that consistently happen in different places, especially nationally, it means they are being told things from within the Eagles. That, and I'm not accusing anyone of leaking anything, but they had ample – both Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown have had ample opportunity to say, this is not true, we are good, and nobody has said that. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, as far as, you know, Dan Graziano, whoever, reporting something, it's entirely possible that the Eagles wanted it out there that they were thinking of trading up for a receiver as a negotiation tactic with A.J. Brown. Like, you know, both this comes from both sides. A.J. Brown could be trying to manipulate his way into a contract by following Patriots and leaking rumors, da-da-da-da-da, to get a contract. But on their side, they need to manage the public opinion and manage messaging that way as well. So, I look, all's well that ends well. He has an extension. It's all good. But I also, I don't think all of this, while not rock solid truth, whatever that means, I also don't think it's fabricated or fake.
I feel some of that, but I feel as though if they were concerned with the locker room, they wouldn't have extended him. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, everybody was saying, who's the real snitch in the locker room? You look at AJ is still here, Hassan's gone, and last time I checked, the Jets haven't given him an extension.
Who's a snitch about what?
About Hassan going to get paid. Like, he ain't get paid. I don't know about maybe not snitch, but maybe that may have been the locker room issue. The guy that they got rid of. And you know what I'm saying? If he was that much of a good locker room guy, you would think the Jets would have extended him. Like, he didn't get extended. So, you know, I think, you know, he wanted out of here, but he didn't get anything when he went to the Jets. They're still making him play out that contract. If he wants to get paid, he's got
so another big so. If the Jets give him a new contract, then what would that say?
I mean, you look at what we're doing.
Well, no. I'm just talking about the Jets. You said you're basing something based off what the Jets didn't do. So I'm just saying, if they were to give Hassan a contract next week, would that then change your mind about everything?
Would you say now? What do you say about the Jets if they
give Hassan Reddick a contract?
Yeah, but if they were going to give him a contract, most contracts when guys get traded, that's what I'm. Most guys when they get traded, they iron out the contract immediately, right away. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would maybe change my opinion a little bit. But I don't foresee Hassan Reddick getting an extension.
Okay.
Because I think if he would have gotten it, he wouldn't have gotten it by now. We're talking about Joe Douglas, a guy familiar with Hassan Reddick.
Yeah,
you know
I think
what
I'm he's
going to be an outsider that don't know his game, don't know his age, don't know his skill set. This is a guy that's been in-house with Hassan Reddick. So, like I said, if he was going to get the contract extension.
Your phone keeps going in and out.
Andy's going in and out. I really can't
see where he's drawing the parallel with the.
He's sort of saying that maybe it's possible. Look, everybody. I've never seen the way that people talk about AJ Brown. I've never seen anything like it. It's possible that he was an issue and he won't be an issue moving forward.
Right.
It's certainly possible. It's possible that Reddick was. And by the way, I do think Reddick is going to get an extension, but that is what it is. We will hear from Charles Barkley right after we hear from Mike a lot. We're going to hear from Mike specifically right now.
Hey, $439 a month. That's what I heard. Yep. That's what my guys down at Elite Acura told me when I asked, how much would it cost to lease an all-new 2024 Acura RDX with super handling, all-wheel drive during Acura's Spring Into Performance event? Now they're offering a $1,000 Acura loyalty appreciation offer to sweeten the deal. Not only is the RDX one of the sleekest new SUVs I've seen hit the market in years, but the super handling all-wheel drive takes it to a whole new level, and that's just the car that first caught my eye. Now through the end of April, they're offering unbelievable offers on their entire inventory. Even the new 2024 Acura MDX with super handling all-wheel drive, you can lease it for just $499 a month with a $1,500 Acura loyalty appreciation offer. And if you're in the market for a new car, you have to get down to Elite Acura today while these offers last. Head over to Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Tell them Ike sent you, or shop online at EliteAcura.com, or give them a call at 567-908-0528 for offer details.
Now, if you were watching the Sixers game last night, it may have appeared as if, based on the sound in the arena or the looks of the fans and the crowd, that the game was in New York.
New York.
There were a lot of Knicks. I was not in the building. I was watching the game on TV, but there were a lot of Knicks fans there. And from the couple of people I spoke to who were in the building, they said it was actually startling how many Knicks fans were there. Charles Barkley talked about it last night on TNT.
I'm disgusted.
Disgusted at what?
All those Knicks fans there. This Philadelphia is a 200 miles.
It's 100 miles away.
I don't give a damn. We're the Philadelphia 76ers. You can't have them people in your building making all that noise.
Sounds like a home game for New York.
It does. Yeah. It really sounds like a home game for the Knicks. I am so disappointed.
Well, you guys have to stop.
I guarantee you, them people in New York wouldn't sell Sixers tickets.
Well, people
come on, man.
So there's Charles. You know, we talked about it a bit ago. I understand the hometown pride. But I believe that at this point with the Sixers, they have had enough issues over the years where it is on the team to make sure that people don't, you know, like back in the Iverson days.
Yeah.
The Lakers, they were playing the Lakers in the finals.
Yep, I was there.
You know, Lakers fans are all over the place.
Yep.
I was going to say they travel well, but they live here. So
I was going to say, yeah, a lot of them are here.
Now, when the Sixers are not good, there's a lot of Lakers fans in the building.
I've been there too, yeah.
But when Iverson and that team was the toast of the town, I bet you people did not sell their tickets. I bet you that it was 99% Sixers fans in there. And the truth is that if you...
It's probably 75%.
Okay, 75. Yeah. But that's even... Yeah. Whatever. It's
well, because those damn Laker fans, they find a way in there.
They do. I think it is on the team at this point. These tickets are so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
People's time is so valuable that it is on the team to make it feel like I cannot miss this game. I have to be there. I can't sell my ticket. I don't care how much it is. And I don't think that the Sixers this year or the first two games of this season have put people in a position where they're like, I can't miss it.
Yeah.
So as it was disheartening for me to watch. It was embarrassing to a certain extent.
I'm glad I was doing the draft. I couldn't really get locked in on it.
Dude, it was outrageous. So much so, I actually think the worse than how loud they were for the Knicks is how hard it made it for Sixers fans to be loud when they needed to.
Right.
There wasn't that overwhelming wave when Embiid hit the third three of the third quarter that you would expect.
Yeah.
So, but I do think that win last night puts game four in a different position, and I would be disappointed if it was the same way on Sunday.
It's three teams that I'm always leery of when they come here to play, that their fans can take over or at least make sure that they're heard. Boston,
yep.
New York, and L.A.
Yes.
Those are the three teams.
And by the way, Boston and L.A. are mostly people living here.
Yeah. I swear, man, when it was a game, I think it was the game you rang the bell. Was that a Celtics game?
Ooh. No, it was a Knicks game.
That was a Knicks game, okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, that was the last time I was down there. And it was a lot of Knicks fans in the building that night. I went to see them when they played the Celtics last year. And I'm like, man, where's all these damn Boston Celtic jerseys coming from?
Well, the thing about Celtics fans that live in Philly, I'm going to paint you the picture. Here's what it is. White guy, pale, wearing a Sixers jersey, or a Celtics jersey, without a T-shirt underneath, so yeah. Arms showing.
Yep.
Poorly done cross tattoo on one arm. Maybe a Pearl Jam tattoo on his calf. And that's what they all look
like. Celtic fan right there.
Oh,
she's proud
no.
of it. She's proud of it.
Get out of here.
Yeah, she's proud of being a Celtic fan.
A Celtic fan.
She's like, yeah, I'm a Celtic fan.
What the hell, man? Well, she did not look like the person I just described.
No, she did
not.
But
most of them do. 215-592-9494. Do you believe in Embiid? What did you think of the pick last night? Nick in Collegeville. You're on WIP.
Wow. Ike, Spike, and rehearsal dinner replacement Jack, whoever that is today.
That is Ben. Ben's
I don't
in
care.
There.
Dude,
if you were doing producer credits and rankings, he had to drop 10 points today on that.
Jack lost a lot of credit. But Nick, I'm telling you, in about 10 minutes, we have a piece of Jack audio that's going to change
it. Dude, I'm locked in. And I can't believe you finished off the Boston fan with this. Not a PJ tattoo.
Sorry.
Like Dropkick Murphys or something. Anyway, talking sports. Listen, I was shocked at what I heard. I was calling about Embiid, but I was shocked that I heard those fans, those Knickerbockers down here, man. That was insane. When Embiid hit that three, I thought it was going to sound like when the Knicks hit that game-leading three-pointer with 7.6 seconds to go.
Yeah, did not sound like that. Yeah.
It sounded unbelievable. Now, Ike, I heard you last night. Great show last night with Glenn, who's retiring. And you're right. Howie better be right on the pick. But I love the pick. You know why I definitely love the pick? Because there's questions about he came from Toledo and hasn't played top-notch, you know, wide receivers in say, the ACC or SEC. But they said when he got to the combine and they matched him up against all the best wide receivers, they wanted to see if he could play press man, because that was a question, if he could play press man and if he can play bigger receivers. And they say he balled out, and that's why he got bumped up to number one.
Yep.
So,
you mean you meant the Senior Bowl, the Senior Bowl, not the combine?
I meant the Senior Bowl. Right. Yep. When we went to the Senior Bowl, people who were leery about if he was really that good, they said, line up, kid. Line up and see what you can do. Now, the A.J. Brown thing, I'm going to disagree with Andy a little bit. I've said this since right before Spike came down, Spike. I was saying this. There's something there, Spike. I agree with you. There's definitely something there. Now, just because they paid them because they feel like that's been squashed. But there's something in the water. What AJ or Jalen, or maybe it was Hassan, there was definitely that green water got stinky for a while up there. So let's just hope that they put enough, you know, chlorine and pellets in the water and it's all clean. Unlike your sewer pipes the other day. So great show, fellas. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for the call, man. You know, and by the way.
Yeah, by the way, the sewer pipes and everything has been fixed.
Yeah.
Basement is not necessarily back to where it was. Oh. That's going to take a little while.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But they're working on it.
Yes, they are. I don't even want to put out I told you already, but the price of what this is going to cost, thank God.
Insurance.
I have insurance, yes.
Renee let you off the hook about it yet?
She did. Only thing she's upset about is that it's interrupted her working out sort of schedule.
That's fair.
Yes, because she can't go down there and get her workout in.
And it's
now.
Your fault. So.
What? I don't know if it's my fault, but
you know,
I guess I didn't adhere to the warnings.
It's somebody's fault. It's got to be somebody's fault.
That's true.
You know, the thing that Ken said, the thing I want to be clear about with AJ and Jalen, whatever was going on, doesn't mean it has to go on forever.
Sure.
You know, they're adults, you know, like they can work through it. They're professionals. They don't have to be best friends, none of that. And they can squash whatever it was. Like, there's no reason that what was happening before needs to happen moving forward. And hopefully the extension is the first step on the way to resolving whatever was going on there.
Yeah, all I know is that the two of them in 2022 were seemingly inseparable. That's all I know. And anybody that watched this team last year, you can't tell me you got the same feeling that you had in the first year with these two. So I don't know what's going on. You want to tell me it's nothing? Okay, I take you at your word that it's nothing. But don't tell me everything is as it always has been.
Yeah, it's different than it was.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I haven't seen any FaceTime videos of you guys just thrilled to talk to each other lately.
So, you know, so I still haven't seen any video of them working out together this offseason.
Hmm. Coming up next.
I've seen video of them individually working out.
But not together.
But not together.
And one guy does throw to the other guy. It might be helpful. Might be helpful. So coming up next, not only do we – now Jack Fritz is out today. Mm-hmm. But we do have the top 5 at 5 coming up with Ben Kenny. But
it's always interesting.
And I'm sorry, Ben, but even more important, we have a shocking piece of Jack Fritz audio. It's going to change everything. That is next on the Afternoon Show, 94 WIP.